I want to look in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. The book of Luke, chapter number 1. Brother Clay Dale was teaching Sunday school, or maybe he was preaching Sunday school. I don't know which that it was. I know for me, Brother Clay, I mixed the two of them up, preaching and teaching. They just kind of go together. But Brother Clay was teaching about Zacharias. And we remember the man Zacharias, who was the priest of God, who had went in to offer sacrifice. And when he went in to offer sacrifice, he was a just man, a holy man. His wife was a holy lady. And when he went in there, he met an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord told him that he and his wife, they were well stricken in years, that they were going to have a child. Well, he didn't believe it. He said, "I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman." I mean, you can just imagine, my grandma's 89 years old. If she told me she was going to have a child, I probably dropped my teeth out of my mouth. It shocked me to death. And this lady was probably pretty elderly too. And Zacharias did not believe this message that they were going to have a child and his name was going to be called John. And so because of that, because he did not believe, the Bible says that Zacharias was stricken dumb and he could not speak. And we know that he came from offering the sacrifice, and the other priests tried to talk to him, and he couldn't even speak to them. And they were pretty troubled and upset. And then in just a little bit, his wife comes up with child, and they're excited about that. And 9 months later, the baby's born. And this whole time, Zacharias has not been able to speak. I don't even think he's been able to hear, because they would have to make signs to him. And, you know, if you're making signs to someone, that's someone who cannot hear. And certainly we realize that they asked the mother, Elizabeth, "What are we going to name the child?" And she said, "We're going to name him John." The family thought, "Name him John? Ain't nobody in the family named John. Let's name him Zacharias Jr. Let's name him some other family name." And we know that the priest, Zacharias, they made motions toward him and said, "What do you want to call the child?" And he's got a writing tablet, and he wrote down that his name is John. And immediately, when he expressed his faith in the Lord and said his name would be called John, he was able to speak. Now, certainly we realize there's a lot of people who do not hear the voice of God speak to their heart. I believe the Holy Ghost still speaks. I believe He still speaks to us through His Word. Most people won't take time to open His Word and let the Lord speak to them. So many people say, "Well, the Lord's not spoken to me." That tells me you're not reading your Bible. He speaks to me through the Scriptures many times. Amen? And certainly, not only could he not hear Him, but he couldn't speak. How many Christians no longer are able to testify that Jesus saves? Not able to stand up and give a good testimony of the Lord. The Bible said if we're ashamed of the Lord, if we won't confess Him before men, He said, "I won't confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. But if you will confess me, I will confess you." And we realize that the Lord opened His hearing and opened His ability to speak, and He began to testify. Imagine a man that's not been able to speak for over 9 months, he's going to have something to say. When the Lord opens his mouth and works a miracle in his life, not only in giving him a child that's the forerunner for the Christ, John the Baptist, but he's going to have something to say. And Brother Clay had mentioned 8 or 9 times, I believe it was, in these verses, that he speaks about salvation. And Brother Clay, as you were reading those verses, in verse 74 of Luke chapter 1, the Lord spoke right to my heart. And I believe it's what the Lord wants us to look at tonight. Verse 74. "That He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear." Interesting. What he's trying to say in a nutshell is that we might serve the Lord without fear. How can we do that? Because we have been delivered from our enemies. Who are our enemies? The devil. Have you been delivered from the power of the devil? Preacher, he still fights me. Yes, but no longer does he have a hold on your life because you've been saved. He's delivered you from the power of death. You may say, "Well, Miss Nina Wheeler died. You had her funeral today." But listen, when she took her last breath here, she may have had physical death. The wages of sin is death. Their physical death may come, but not spiritual death. Her soul moved on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. There's where she is, amen? And you and I have been delivered from the power of death because Jesus took our cross. Jesus took our penalty. Jesus paid our punishment and our price that we might be set free. So we've been delivered from the devil. We've been delivered from death. Amen? And I want to say, I believe we've been delivered from fear. Now, I know this tonight. Everybody in this building, I don't care how saved you are, probably some of us have some type of fear. And I'm not talking about the fear of the Lord. All of us ought to have the fear of the Lord because that's the beginning of wisdom. But there's some of you, you fear snakes. I don't like them either. Some of you fear spiders. Some of you fear disease. Some of you fear financial setbacks. Some of you fear getting old. Gray hair. Amen? Some of you fear rejection. Some of you fear disappointment. Some of you do fear death. You don't have to, but you do. In the Bible, there are multitudes of men and women who were stalked by fear. Let me mention two. Number one, Moses was stalked by fear. When the Lord told him to go down to Pharaoh and say to him, "Let my people go," he said, "I'm not a good talker. I'm not a good speaker." Do you know what his fear was? Fear of rejection. That's the reason I got married to the girl I did. All them other fellows was afraid of being rejected. And I was too ugly to care. So I went and asked her out. And I got her hand in the long run. And that's the case. A lot of you fellas, you won't go talk to them pretty girls because you're afraid of rejection. There's a lot of preachers standing in the pulpit, Brother Shane, afraid of rejection. What will happen if they won't receive my message? A lot of singers stand up to sing. They're afraid of rejection. They just, listen, they want to be received well. So do all of us want to be received well. How would you feel if you came in the church tonight and you were rejected? Nobody wanted you around. We asked you to leave. Moses had a fear of rejection. But finally he gave in to it. What about the disciples? They had a fear of the storms, did they not? Many fears they had in their lives. Some of them have fears of going hungry. Well, I remember my old grandpa Troy. One time he had left the house. And when he got away from the house, he said it was dark outside and he heard all kinds of mashing in the leaves, you know, and the limbs are cracking and he heard something growling. He didn't know what it was. He was scared absolutely to death. When all of a sudden he heard his grandpa or his daddy Wexler's name or his voice say, "Troy." That was his name. He said, "Troy, son, what's wrong?" He said, "Daddy, I'm afraid." His daddy reached and got him by the hand and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here." And he said, "All my fears," he told me this when I was just a child, 5 or 6 years old. He said, "All my fears subsided when my father took me by the hand." Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been afraid when you was a little kid and something about your mom or something about your daddy, you could just curl up in their lap or get close to them? I remember hearing my daddy's heartbeat for me. I could hear his heartbeat. Boy, that helped me know daddy's around. Over there in Madison County, we'd go over there wrestling on the hills. Them boys would throw me down the hills. We played King of the Mountain, and boy, they was rough on me. And you know what? They started ganging up on me, and they chased me. Said they was going to black my eyes and bloody my nose. What they told me? I was a little feller. So you know what I did? I ran. They chased me. And I ran all the way to my daddy, and I grabbed him by his breeches leg. And when I grabbed a hold of my daddy's breeches leg, I turned around, and all them boys was standing off in the darkness, and I was safe. Amen? Safe. When the devil gets on your trail, I've told you this before, when the devil gets on your trail like a bunch of old dogs running a rabbit, and that rabbit will run, and the dogs will sniff him out. But the rabbit will run to a lily patch, and he'll hide underneath those lilies. And those old hounds will lose the rabbit's smell because the fragrance of the lily is so strong, it covers up where the rabbit's been. Ain't that great? Thank God you can now get around the lily of the valley, and the hounds of hell will leave us alone. Well, he said that we might serve him without fear. Three times in the Christmas story, God sent angelic messengers to mankind to speak to mankind. And three times, God is interested in sending peace to mankind. But all three times that the angelic messengers came, it struck fear in the hearts of those folks that they spoke to. And all three times, the angel said these words, "Fear not." So I want to look at the three times, the three fear nots of Christmas. And the first one is in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. And I know we've preached this forwards and backwards, and you've heard it a multitude of times, but you'll hear it again tonight, maybe in a different way. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1, back in verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Makes me think here the serenity of Mary's life. She's met her a fine Jewish boy named Joseph. He's a fine, respectable, honorable man. She's grown up, you know, most girls grow up dreaming of their wedding and thinking about having a family, and certainly she's maintained her purity. The Bible says that she is a virgin. I believe that she's a young lady that's been living close to the Lord. She's lived a godly life. She's lived a close life before the Lord. A bright future awaits this young lady. She has serenity in her life. But then here is a summons. This angel shows up. Look at verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, immediately fear struck in her heart. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And I preached the other Sunday, saying that this is not a doubtful question. She said, "I need more information. I'm willing to do this." But she also realized the summons here means she's a virgin. And if she's with child outside of wedlock, she'll be shamed, reproached, rejected of all men. She realized that she's going to have the greatest honor laid upon her ever afforded to women, to bear the Son of God. Yet there's a price tag to it. Reproach and humiliation. So she says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." See that? You're not going to have an earthly daddy. You're going to have a heavenly daddy. Amen. The bloodline is holy, holy, holy. And here's a sign to her. "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You see, Mary's life is not going according as she planned. Neither will yours. I think about this snowstorm, and I told the crowd Sunday night, and I'll ask you this question tonight. Is there anybody in the building besides me? I'm going to answer this question. I just want you to put your hand up. We're looking for a response. Is there anybody in this building besides me that your plans were changed when the snow fell? Anybody here? Your plans got changed. Mary had a plan for her life. She was going to get married, raise a family, but all of a sudden, she's going to be scorned, reproached, humiliated. Look what she says, verse 38, her surrender. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Despite the shame, despite the reproach, despite the humiliation, she was willing to submit to the will of God. I say to you, she is an example of obedience, an example of surrender that every child of God need to take to heart. So I say to you, first of all tonight, do not fear God's purpose for your life. It may not turn out just like you planned, but we know that all things work for the good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. I'm telling you, under the sound of my voice to somebody, your plan for your life is not right now where you thought it would be. I don't know if I'm just talking to one person, but it has not turned out so far how you thought it would turn out. You're a little disappointed. You're a little bit defeated. And to tell you the truth about your future, you're afraid. You're concerned. I don't know what lies ahead of me. Will it be bad test results? Will it be death? An accident? What lies ahead for me? What is my future hold? Will I ever get married? Will I ever meet Mr. Right? Will I ever meet Mrs. Perfect? Now I know you have that fear. How will my children turn out? Yeah. Am I doing a good job as a parent? How will I know that I've done a good job as a parent? Let me tell you, you won't know until you see how your grandkids turn out. That's what my daddy told me. I told him when I left the home, I said, Dad, you did a great job. I appreciate all you've done for me. He said, oh, no. My job's not done until I see how my grandkids turn out. He said, I raised you to be a parent. Let's see what kind of parent you turn out to be. The jury's still out on that one. I got a lot of work to do. Amen? So do you understand? Do not fear God's purpose for your life. He's called you to this moment. He's called you to this place. It is not an accident these things have happened to you. Oh, it's an accident to you, but it's not to Him. It's the will of God being carried out in your life. And you're afraid and scared halfway to death. You prayed about it much. You're worried and very, very concerned. God said, don't fear it. It's going to be all right. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? Guess what? Mary's still going to get married. She thinks she's going to be stoned, but God's got a plan. She thinks she's going to be divorced, but God's got a plan. She thinks I'll never have any other children, but she did. She did have children. Brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters, were born to Mary and Joseph that were half-brothers and sisters to Jesus. Amen? Second of all, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. We see, first of all, in verses 18 and 19, the pain of Joseph's life. Certainly, Joseph found himself Mrs. Perfect. She's a fine young lady. She's beautiful. He loves her. His family approves of her. She's pure. She's unspotted from the world. She's virgin. She's a righteous girl. She's a Jewish young lady. And he is so happy. And they've announced their engagement and their wedding plans, and things seem to be going so well. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child. What about that? Of the Holy Ghost. Just like the Lord said. But Joseph don't understand that. The love of his life is pregnant. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You see, the news that she is with child has shattered his life, crushed his hope, dashed his dreams. Mary's pregnant. He's not the father. His pride completely gone. His life seems over. What will he do? Well, he could divorce her. He said, I'm going to not make her a public example, but I'm going to put her away privately, a quiet divorce. Or he had the option of going out and having her stoned publicly. Those were two options that he had. But God's got another option in mind. I want you to marry her. That ain't what I planned. Yeah, it's exactly what you planned. Yeah, but she's going to be having a child. Now, what's here? The Lord will allow something, I promise you, to come into your life and to mess you up. You will lay out all these little plans, and the Lord will say, since you left me out of it, let me allow to put a little something in it to get your attention, and I'm still up here, and I'm still in control. You see, I believe God's allowing the storm to come to Spruce Pine of 18 inches of snow or 15 or whatever what you got on your back porch. I think God allowed that to come to show you He's in control. You made a bunch of plans and you didn't include Him in it. Hey, say amen. Don't get quiet on me now. You did a lot of things, a lot of scheduling, a lot of trips you were going to take, and you never even thought to ask Him about it. I mean, the Bible says you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this, or if it's the Lord's will, we'll do that. But that's not what we do. So God allows something to come in here to mess it up just a little bit. And while the Bible says, verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. What? Fear not. What? Don't fear, number two, God's plan. God says, I got a plan for your life. I got a purpose for Mary. I got a plan for Joseph. Don't fear God's plan for your life. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done. See, all these things, angels said, all this was worked out. It was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold a virgin. If your Bible says a young woman, throw it away. That ain't no Bible. Young women have children all the time. I mean, I believe in the miracle of childbirth. That's wonderful. But as far as you and I'll ever believe, only one virgin ever conceived. It was Mary by the hand of the Almighty. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Do you see the privilege? We see the pain. His hope and his dreams are shattered. But do you see the privilege? God says, Joseph, I've chosen you to raise up my son in a carpenter's home. I didn't put him in a palace. They're going to reject him at the end. There's going to be no room for him there. I want you to raise him up. Glory to God, what a privilege it is to be chosen by God. He said, all this was done. This is not an accident. You've been chosen. Mary's been chosen. He has a purpose. He has a plan. Can I say to you, you have been personally, individually selected for where you are right now. God chose to save you. God chose to bless you by saving your soul, giving you a wife, giving you a husband, giving some of you children, giving some of you grandyoungins. Maybe somebody got great-grandyoungins. God has chosen you to have health, or God has chosen you to bear sickness. God has chosen you to teach, or to preach, or to listen, or to pray. God has called you to do something. Don't sit around here disappointed. Realize you're privileged. God has chosen to give you food to eat. God has chosen to give you clothes on your back. God has chosen to give you a four-wheel drive vehicle to get out in the snow. God has chosen you. God has favored you. Don't sit around and say, well, I don't think the Lord loves me. Listen, He knows just exactly where you are. You have been handpicked by God. What a privilege tonight. Even in the midst of your pain, there's privilege. And let me say this. Look at his priorities. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. What about that? Knowing he would be ridiculed for taking a woman who's already with child. He himself would be stigmatized and laughed at and scorned. He said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. He said, I'm going to make the Lord, this child, my priority. How about that? He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. What's this? And knew her not. He did not consummate that marriage. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was privileged in the middle of pain and expressed his priorities and said, I'm going to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is your priority?
Finding a good sale down at the mall.
Some of you, you get a 20% off coupon from some store named Kohl's or wherever it is. You'll run over the devil himself to get there and get that 20% off. I went up to the radio station today and I seen four of Bambi and his cousins jumping across the road. If that had been you, you'd have been, let me pull a truck over in the ditch and went out getting ready to get pictures of it or do God knows what else to it when that deer ran across the road. Your priority is shooting a deer. Your priority is getting a good deal down at Kohl's or whatever store you want to shop. What is the priority in your life? Me and my family, that's a priority. Well, I'll be pretty high on the list. But the Lord's will's got to be first. First in your life. Amen? So you ought to determine in your heart to seek the Lord's will and do it. He just did what God would have him to do. Fear not God's purpose. Fear not God's plan. And last of all, in the book of Luke chapter 2, fear not God's presentation. God's getting ready to show you something. Might be getting ready to do something unusual in your life. Might happen this week. Might happen tonight. It ain't going to be something presented to you. The opportunity is going to open up. Preacher, that sounds like one of them New Age preachers. God's going to open a door for you. I'm telling you what, I believe God gives an open door to His people. I've said for some time, the Lord showed me, said, I want you to tell them, I've got an open door for them. And open doors is only as good as you use it. And it's an access point. It's an opportunity, and there's an open door. What's this? Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. This is after the birth of Christ. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Many of you understand the pain of a shepherd's life. He's a social outcast. He's considered vulgar, dirty, nasty, unclean, smelly, unkept. That's what he's considered. He's a social outcast. He's also a religious outcast. Because of his job and the filth that he's out in the field all the time, and because he's considered to be filthy, they are considered defiled, and they're not allowed to participate in any ceremonies in the house of God. I find that interesting because those same sheep that they're tending are the lambs that are sacrificed for the sins of the people. Yet those shepherds that have that job to take care of those flocks, they're considered rejects and outcasts. Might I consider tonight you? You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. A Gentile dog. An outcast. A foreigner. A stranger from the covenant of promise. When you were born in sin, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You were a social outcast. You were a religious reject. You had no hope and no chance. You were without God and without hope in this world. And there you were, just doing your thing, living in sin. What a painful life. Until you got a message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You understand that these same shepherds are separated from God. They can't go to the temple. They're separated from man. They're considered defiled. Who are they going to turn to? Unclean. Second, look at their privilege. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. There's our third fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I mean, of all the people they could have appeared to, they appeared to the rejects. They didn't appear to the royalty and the rich. The message was sent, first of all, to the defiled and the unclean. Oh, I'm glad tonight the preacher preached to me. The very first people to receive the news that the Lamb of God has come, the Lamb of God has come, is shepherd. Glory to God. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. Let me just back up and say, why were they so afraid, verse number 9? I'm going to ask you, why were they so afraid? Glory of the Lord shone upon them. You know, the night the preacher preached to me, and the Holy Ghost revealed to me I was lost, and I was a social outcast and a religious reject, and I was without God and without hope in this world, the night that preacher preached that message to me, I was so afraid. If I could have hid, I would have hid. I did crawl in behind someone who was seated or standing in front of me, and I got as much in behind them so the preacher couldn't see me as I could get. But it wasn't the preacher I needed to hide from. It was God. You can't hide from God. You remember when Adam and Eve got off into sin? What did they do? They tried to hide themselves. And God come walking in the cool of the day, found them right where they were. Amen? Where art thou? They were in sin. That's where they were. That's why they were so afraid. These shepherds even, these religious outcasts and rejects, they were so afraid because they felt like sinners. What about that? Boy, the night I found out that Jesus saves, I was afraid too. Amen? I was scared out of my wits. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A manger. A feeding trough. They're well acquainted with feeding troughs for animals. Certainly, we know what they're going to do. They're going to go looking for the Lamb of God. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Do you know it was a privilege that the angel spoke to them? It was a privilege that the angel spoke to them when they were sinners. It was a privilege when the Holy Ghost spoke to you and I when we needed to be saved. It was a privilege. And I was afraid. I was scared out of my wits. But it was almost like He said, fear not. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to scold you or rebuke you or beat you. Don't be afraid. I've come to tell you about somebody that can save you. Jesus is alive and well, and He loves you and wants to save you. Glory to God. I didn't have to be afraid of His presentation. When the gospel was presented to me, I needed not to be afraid. Praise the Lord for that. Watch this, y'all. Verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Boy, I remember that night when all the call was given. I'm about to go find out if this saving thing, if there's something to it or not. I heard people talk about it. I heard them talk about peace, and I heard them profess Christ. And after I got over being afraid and hiding, I remember stepping out. I said, I'm just going to go see. And I run down that altar. Listen, there was no more delay for me. When I made my first step out of there, I almost jumped over people. And when I come down, I mean, it looked like a long way. And when I got to the front row under the load of sin or something, my knees buckled and gave way, and I bowed down right there in that place. That's where I met Him. Amen. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the thing which was told them concerning this child. They went out to tell it. So guess what? When they've seen the Christ, a change has come to their hearts and to their lives, and they go out professing that Jesus is alive. The Messiah, the Christ, is alive. These guys were, listen, they're social rejects, religious outcasts. Who's going to hear them? Oh, but there's a change come to their life. They've been privileged to hear the message. They have received the Christ child, and they go out to spread it abroad. That's what happened to me. Ain't nobody really cared about me. 12 years old. I was no royalty. We had no money. We had no wealth. We had no clout. We had no name. I was a sinner. I'd cussed and lied and, Lord, I was going to hell. Came by and saved me. I got up from there, hung out back to my seat. And that man, I stepped over that man going back in. He said, son, that was the biggest step you'll ever make in your whole life is to call on Jesus. I thought about them that went to the moon. You know, one step for man, but one giant step for mankind. Boy, that was one big step to be saved. I'll never forget that. Amen. Lord of God. When the call people called my grandma, she already somehow knew it. Guess what? I'm still telling you. I got saved. Jesus saved me. I'm still telling you. I'm still telling the message that Jesus saves. All the way from 1978, 31 years, I'm still telling people, Jesus saves. There's some of you, you've heard me tell so many times about me getting saved. I talked to somebody the other day. They went by Balfour Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and they said, right there's where a preacher got saved. And he got saved on July 13th, 1978. They know more about it than I do almost. How many times do you tell somebody that Jesus saves? Amen? Well, they begin to profess Christ. The Bible says, verse number 17 again, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They were all amazed. Why would the Lord appear to these rejects? What in the world is this message that they're carrying? Guess what? If any will come to Jesus, He said, if any man come to me, I will in no wise cast him out. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Three times angels came. Three times it struck fear into the hearts of the hearer. Three times the angel said, fear not. All three times. Those that received the message of fear not, their hearts were changed. They became willing to accept God's purpose, God's plan, and God's presentation. I don't know what you face tonight, but whatever it is, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Say, Lord, help me. The Bible says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You stand to your feet tonight. I wonder if there's somebody here, you say, preacher, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. Let me tell you what, every one of these received this, their fear turned into peace. They got peace about it. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody tonight, and you need peace about some things. There's an old man one time, they asked him, they said, what is it robs you of your joy the most? He said, the fear of things that never happened. You're afraid of things that'll never happen. But preacher, suppose. You see, that's what gets you in trouble. You're supposing. My Bible still says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That means there's no supposing. That's a sure thing. Sister, if you'd come play, I feel led tonight. Here it is, 2 days before the Christmas day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. Or if it'd be somebody here, I just feel like we ought to give a quick invitation. Preacher, I tell you, I got some worries. I've got worries and fears. Not just worries, preacher. I'm going to admit it's fears. Fears for my children. Fears for my finances. Fears for my future. Preacher, I believe it's God's purpose and God's plan for my life. And He's presenting me some things. There's some things right now that I look at it literally causes me to tremble. I wonder tonight if you'd come, bow on this altar, and say, Lord, I want some peace about some things.
Angel tree, every name was taken off the angel tree back there on, I think it was Sunday morning. We appreciate that so much. And so if you have those gifts with you, tonight is the last night. Obviously, turn them in. There's some back there. I know that a bunch of them were picked up Monday night. We appreciate all you've done to make that project a great success. So we wish you safety, wish you peace, and we wish you a very, 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 very Christmas. Love you, every one of you. You never know what changes a year away. God says, I'm open the door, you do this, you do that. You may look around this time next year, we may have double the crowd.
Amen.
Then again, God may say, like he did to Gideon, you got too many with you. And he may kick me out. It could happen. So I want to tell you, I won't take it for granted. I love it. Never met a people like y'all. And I love it tremendously. Thank you for a great year. Man, you worked and rolled up your sleeves and gave effort. Give the Needy Children's Project. What a great success to go in these homes for their needs. Praise the Lord for all that you do. I'm telling you, for those of you that gave, but you didn't have the privilege of taking those presents out, oh, what joy was on those faces. Praise the Lord. It blessed them to death. You may say, preacher, I don't think it went in the right place. I can assure you it did. It hit the bottom line. Every place. Praise the Lord. Again, we appreciate all you. Appreciate these wonderful children, don't you?
Amen.
Y'all give them a hand and give the Lord a hand. Amen. Miss Paula, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds.
Do we get any?
Yeah, we need to put the pulpit back, and we'll move that communion table from the back down here to the front. Need to do that tonight before we leave. Appreciate all you do. Good night. God bless you.